Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very unique and maybe amazing episode of The Beatitudes, in which our reverse Simpsons, where every Monday episode is done differently than every other Monday episode at the end, is now the entire episode. Paul, how does that work?
We're going backwards. We're
going backwards,
back
Mav.
Back to the future.
We're going vertical, Mav. So here's what's going to happen. The show's going to be different than we've ever experienced before for you and for us. With that,
thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe to the show or catch us on YouTube at the underscore Beatitude. That's shift 2 on your keyboard, the underscore Beatitudes. See you then.
This has been amazing talking with you, Evan Wolstenkroft. What an incredible journey that you've been on, enlightening us with all this stuff about major gifts and donor relations, and really just, I don't know, the way that you show up with the Holy Spirit leading every step. I want to thank you for being here. We'll see all of you out there on the trail of benefactors, which sounds like the trail of tears, but it's a good trail.
Hey.
For the rest of you, we will
see you in the Eucharist.
Evan, this has been great talking about the question of the day. Why don't we do the question of the day now? Every episode that we have of the Beatitudes, we do a question of the day, the TBD question. Today's question is, what? This is getting very heady all of a sudden. What is a question?
The question is, what is a question?
No, there's more to it.
What's a question that you like to ask when you're getting to know somebody, or if you're going deeper? And if you'll remember, when we did the Beatitudes question of the day, we always, all four of us, answer it. So I'm happy to jump in, or somebody
go for it.
Okay, so this is my going deeper one, and I find this very fascinating. When you're talking to especially a older man who has adult kids, and they talk about their kids having left the faith or having no faith, and I think one of those questions that says, you know, how can I pour into this person and learn from them at the same time is, you know, what I like asking people is, are your grown kids still in the faith? And if not, where do you think things went off the rails for them? Like, what do you think drove that wedge between them and faith? And man, you get some of those really powerful witness conversations. Certainly I'm not trying to create regret in somebody. It's more of like a reflection. I'm trying to learn from them, but also to honor that your kids are not you. You're not responsible for your kids. You're ushering them in a direction, but ultimately there's free will. So that's a going deeper question, but you have to start with like making sure you're in the right place with this person before you dive in with that one.
Yeah, you don't usually approach somebody in a coffee shop with that question. That's yeah.
You don't.
Touché.
What about you guys?
When I'm trying to go deeper with someone or just get to the next level, I like to ask them what their passions are. Mm. Because I feel like that's a question that they don't get asked very much. They get asked a lot about your kids, your work, your the weather. But asking someone what they're passionate about is a different question that I've experienced that people answer in a very authentic way. They answer that question with, well, I'm actually really passionate about this hobby I just picked up last year. And I don't really tell people about it because I'm not very good at it. And so that's one of the ways I like to just go one step further than surface levels, talking about their passions.
That's really good. What are you passionate about?
Well, right now, I'm passionate about my kids and the weather. And
nice.
I'm really passionate about board games.
Yeah.
We do a lot of board games at our house.
Nice.
And I'm passionate about woodworking. It's something I picked up from my grandfather. And he kind of apprenticed me when I was younger. And I've learned how to do a lot of things. I'm fixing stuff around the house and building stools and tables and things like that.
Have you merged the two of them and built your own pieces for Monopoly?
I have built pieces that were broken.
Oh, nice.
I have replaced pieces.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know Catan.
Yeah.
It's like just little wooden blocks, you know? That's very easy.
The rectangles and squares.
Yes, and I can paint, too.
Nice.
What about you guys?
Well, I like to usually, if I'm trying to get to know somebody, like, again, taking it to the next level, ask, what's your darkest secret? And, no, I don't usually. If I feel like it's appropriate, I will ask the question, well,
Where do you feel like God's moving in your life right now? Like, if I feel like there's that level of spiritual connection with somebody where we've already maybe broached that topic.
Yeah.
But kind of that leads oftentimes to more of a, I don't know, like a statement of, well, I'm feeling called to step out this way, but I'm not sure. I mean, kind of discernment talks and things like that. It's really interesting.
Mm, nice.
This is one I gleaned from my old boss, John Grafer, and I saw him do it, which was cool. We had a Christmas party, and he flew in this like Broadway singer performer and like kind of surprised everybody. And then we were just hanging out talking to him afterwards. And I knew it was one of his questions because I've seen his like great question list. And he pulled it out, and it was, you know, at what point in your life or a moment where you were, you know, extremely happy or, you know, had this sense of pride for something that you accomplished personally. Mm. And so, like, this is somebody none of us knew. We got to hear this great story. Like, everyone loves talking about themselves, right? And all of a sudden, you're, like, in a real conversation.
Yeah. Well, didn't you?
It's just such a good open. And we've used it before.
I was
going to
say,
show.
I think you suggested it for a previous episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we want you to keep feeding us more stuff because we got to keep coming up with great questions. And by the way, what we're doing today, this Reverse Simpsons that we're in, came from Evan. How many days ago did you tell us this would be a great idea?
5 days ago.
How many days or minutes ago did we decide to actually do it?
Less than 5 minutes ago.
How long have we been recording?
Yeah,
exactly.
We are recording, right?
Yeah, we are. We got that part correct. We didn't unrecord, which
good.
I don't think that's what they call that. Well, good. Well, welcome back from the break.
Welcome back. We already did that part. We're here with Evan. We're here with Evan Wilson-Croft. I don't know what you do or what.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's jump in and hear from our sponsors in reverse order this time.
Hi, it's Paul Kolker from the Beatitudes here, and I just wanted to share with you guys that I also, outside of the show, perform improv comedy on a regular basis with a group called Divine Comedy. So what we do is we come up with everything on the spot, so whether you're looking for faith-filled, fun, family-friendly comedy for your youth night, or whether you're looking for clean comedy for your corporate event, Divine Comedy can perform for your group and even get you in on the action. So if you'd like to hire us to come out and perform for your next event, check out DivineComedyImprov.com. Divine Comedy, an inferno of fun.
Hey, Beatitudes, it's Jeff here. When Nick and I set out and we started this company, Undivided Life, we decided to not use traditional healthcare, but we went with Solidarity HealthShare because we thought it was an affordable and ethical alternative that matched the needs of our business and our growing families. Since then, my family put Solidarity to the test. We've had pregnancies, babies, emergency room visits, even a brain surgery for one of my children, and Solidarity has been an incredible partner and has also had the cost and the ethical approach that we love. Here's a link for you to go check it out. learnmore.solidarityhealthshare.org/beatitudes. This is your chance to be in solidarity with the Shufflebine family.
The team at Aquinas Wealth Advisors believes that good values and good returns are not mutually exclusive. Using a tech-smart and morally sound approach, they provide investment alternatives that align with Catholic teachings without sacrificing returns. These days, faith-driven investors are finding it hard to know where their money is going. They have no visibility into what their dollars are supporting, but there's a better way. Thanks to the Faith and Finance Score from Aquinas Wealth Advisors, you can look into your current holdings to see what you're supporting and make a switch to an advisor that aligns with your values and gives power to your voice. Check out AquinasWealth.com today.
Home, turn on the Beatitudes. Evan, for being our celebrity guest judge today on Blessed Are the Joke Makers, you're getting your very own pair of sacrilegious socks from sacrilegious.com. These are Saint Scholastica, who I know not that much about, but seems like a smart person. Nuns, education, and storms. And this feels like a storm that we're in the middle of today. If you listening want your own sacrilegious socks, go to sacrilegious.com/beatadudes for 10% off. Thanks for being our judge. And now Nick's going to explain to you the point part of this.
Well, I think he has to pick the winner of the game.
Oh, yeah. Who won?
Yeah, who won?
Man, it was hard choice today. I really love Nick. I loved your accent. That was a really good one. And Paul, I love that you're able to work the word bamboozled into your answer.
Thank you. Yes.
I think I have to go with Nick. Nick was the winner today.
Let's go!
The accent. It was the accent.
Nick.
That'll do it.
It is impressive that you actually in this.
I've been working on it.
Well, and what nobody can believe is that you arced 5 different continents with that accent.
Sure.
That was amazing.
I did my best Jeff Shufflebine.
Well,
that's pretty spot on.
For people who don't know that, including me, we are going to do the game called, right? Actually, let's do the game and then
we'll
introduce
it. Yeah, we got to do the game. We got to do the game. Yeah, see, the 11th commandment is about, well, not getting too bamboozled by your boss when he's sending you out to take people out with a Tommy gun.
Very good.
The 11th commandment is blessed are the snitches because they get ditches.
I kind of threw in the beatitudes.
Yeah, everybody thinks that the 11th commandment is about Tommy guns and shoot 'em ups with the high-pitched voices and the, you know, different accents and things like that. But really, when you're a gangster like this, you know, it's really about the 11th commandment is about how to treat other people with respect when they come to your house parties. You really just got to take care of everybody, you know, make sure the ladies are taken care of, make sure the guys got their drinks full at all times. You know, that's really what the 11th commandment is about.
Okay, so the way this is going to work is we've got a character card and a Catholic card game card. Nope. Sorry, I jumped the gun.
Okay. No.
And we have to answer the prompt on the Catholic card game card as this character.
This game is called Blessed Are the Joke Makers, for they shall inherit the points. Evan, what year were you born?
1989.
89 is going to be worth 89 points.
I'm so glad he didn't bamboozle us by jacking up the points after he reverse won.
I really thought
you're
about
a gentleman.
Yes.
You're a gentleman.
Well played.
I wanted to scare you a little bit with like the full amount of points.
1989 points.
We're going to make it a big one.
Well, speaking of a big one, Evan, you're a big one in our hearts. Thanks for all the work you've done. Let's now learn about that stuff that you've been doing. What is your career, and this whole section is about you and about this career path trajectory and the great work you've been doing to bless others.
Well, it's a career path I never could have guessed, honestly. Mm. Even when I was in college, my senior year, I never would have guessed it. I've been working for the last decade in fundraising for the most part. Now, it's looked different at different organizations. It's looked different depending on my role, but for the most part, I've become a professional in the world of nonprofit fundraising.
And what, let's go back to those college, high school, senior year. There are different things, college and high school.
Indeed.
They both have senior years.
Yeah,
so you're right.
Thank you for helping.
I did
me.
Fundraising in high school. You know, I sold chocolate bars and trash bags, whatever the Catholic school fundraiser was that year.
What? Who buys trash bags from a Catholic?
People who buy too many chocolate bars. You got to throw the wrappers.
They weren't normal trash bags, though. They were the ones that look like pumpkins. So when you fill them up, you got these big pumpkins sitting on your curb. You've seen those, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I have seen those.
Is this seasonal?
Maybe it's a Kansas thing.
Maybe
I don't know.
It's a Midwest thing.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I love Kansas. St. Louis in the fall.
Lots of leaves.
Is it St. Louis in Kansas?
No.
Oh.
Go back to a previous episode.
Kansas and Missouri don't have the best of history, so.
But they all have the exact same cities.
Well,
they do share
Kansas
City.
Is.
I'm starting to realize they're not separate.
Yeah.
What? There's one Kansas City.
See?
On two state lines.
Okay, so you did
one line, two states.
You sold trash cans.
I've never really understood it either, Jeff. You sold trash cans.
Evan, where'd you go to college?
I went to Kansas State University.
I can't handle that.
KSU, is that Rock Chalk Jayhawk?
No, come on, Paul.
I'm sorry.
Okay, how did you make your way into the world of fundraising from being a college? You were studying something, wasn't fundraising.
Yeah, I was studying psychology. Mm-hmm. I was pretty bad.
That is actually pretty close to fundraising.
Well, the reason I was psychology was because I didn't know what I wanted to do, and it seemed like the most nebulous thing that could apply to almost anything.
There you go.
And it worked out. So it worked perfectly like I intended it to. But
just like this show, Evan.
Yeah. And so after my time in college, I realized I didn't want to go to med school. That really was not a path I felt passionate about. And I was really passionate about staying at the university and helping to recruit students to come to Kansas State. And I worked really hard to make myself the best applicant for that job, and it just didn't come through. And so my senior year, I was kind of left, you know, kind of at a low point in my discernment of what's after college, trying to figure out what do I do. And our chaplain at the Catholic Student Center there was a good friend of mine whose brother was a Focus missionary. And he said, I think you should give that a shot. I knew nothing about Focus. I had gone to
Have you been like attending their stuff? No.
They weren't at my school.
Oh.
I never even heard. I went to their conference, their national conference, which doesn't really look like what they do on a local level at their campuses. And so I was like, I had a good experience. I, you know, prayed and had some good time with some college, you know, peers. And that was my experience of Focus. So when I went to the interview weekend, I was discerning them just as much as they were trying to.
Could they pick up on the fact that you knew nothing?
Yes. It was very easy. Evan, please explain what a disciple is.
Not a doctor.
I don't know.
Why don't you tell me what you think a disciple is?
I got a list of really great questions for getting to know you and going deeper. Sir, are your adult kids still in the faith?
I was asking people about their passions, and they're like, well, we're passionate about Jesus, and that's good. I'm in the right place.
He's part of the Catholic Church.
We know that.
Yes.
How did you make this jump from interviewing them, discerning them, and vice versa to joining their forces?
It was the people I met that weekend were the most genuine and authentic people I've ever met. They didn't care about whether I became a Focus missionary or not, even though they needed, you know, to hire more men to be missionaries. They wanted what was best for me, and I could genuinely feel that. I could genuinely feel that they wanted for me what God wanted for me, and they supported that, and I just felt a very strong connection. So as I am praying about what to say or do after the weekend, I just told the Lord, if he opens the door for me, I'll walk through it. And I didn't think, I honest to goodness did not think they were going to offer me a position as a missionary, because I thought I had too much of a learning curve. I didn't have the lingo, didn't have the experience. So when the door was opened, I walked through it.
Where were you in your faith trajectory at this moment in your career, like your life? I mean,
yeah, that's a good question, because my college time was really marked by a lot of small turns kind of away from our faith and away from the Lord. And I got to like a really low point my junior year. And then I had a really awesome friend who could see that I was struggling just with living a double life. Yeah. I was still a Catholic. I still would say that. I still would go to Mass. And I just wasn't engaged. I just checked out mentally. Yeah. And my friend just said, hey, why don't you come and hang out with me and be a part of my... It wasn't really much of a Bible study, it was more of a small group, but we talked about, you know, Catholic adjacent or Catholic things, invited me to go on a few retreats and conferences. And so then slowly started having these small turns back to the faith. And then I had a friend who went through the RCIA program, and watching them become Catholic was like a smack in the face to me, because I went to the Easter Vigil and I saw all these brand new Catholics just crying and weeping over receiving the Eucharist for the first time. I'm sitting here in the back looking like, what a jokester I am. What a fraud. I'm here just watching these people have the most intense experience with our Lord in the Eucharist. And I just take this for granted. I don't even really care. I'm not living a life. And so it was those two things that really just, I went back to confession, started going to adoration, and really tried to just turn my life around. I didn't go regularly. I wasn't, you know, a daily attendee of adoration and Mass, but I started going more often than I had before.
Yeah, but I like that emphasis you said on these small corrections and small turns, right? That we think about repentance has to be the knock you off your horse sort of moment, right? Like St. Paul being blinded. And those do happen, but it's not that that's necessarily everybody's story. And you can make these little adjustments over time that help get you back in that direction.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't have a big one of these, you know, testimonies that's a big one. It's just lots of little turns away and little turns back. And
I don't know. I agree completely. But having that moment of, I mean, how harsh were you on yourself calling yourself a jokester? That's a big deal. Most men aren't willing to go that far. But
that was a sincere moment of repentance.
And that's really where I'm going with this. You look and you're like, this is the way an alive Catholic experiences the sacrifice of the Mass. And I'm going to the motion. And I'm saying I was that jokester too. Yeah. From one jokester to another. What we see all the time, and I keep going back to this youth conference, I think when people are around other people who are having their encounter moments, it creates fertile soil for you to open up your heart or to run away. It's hard to stay in that middle ground in a moment like what you were experiencing. You're either in or out.
Yeah. It was definitely, I was caught for a while there in the lukewarm stage, you know, and I could sense it. I could feel it. But I didn't want to be there. I didn't like being there. It wasn't comfortable. And so something had to change. I had to go one way or the other. So, yeah, it was a pivotal moment there for me my senior year.
You got accepted into Focus. What kind of training do they give you before you fundraise your salary, or you just go get them?
They do a pretty good job of training, but as someone who had just zero experience at all, it felt like no training. But looking back, it felt like no training. But looking back on it, it was really incredible training. And I, you know, they have switched up their training process since my first year as a missionary. And it's been really fun to watch that change because I got to help implement that as well. Mm. That was nice. My next level into learning fundraising was I was pretty successful at doing it for myself. So then they asked me to help train the next year of missionaries. So then I got to help pilot the new training regimen for Focus and train over 200 missionaries how to fundraise their budget and mission salary as well.
It's an incredible experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that, and that's funny because that was another small yes because no one else wanted to do that. Sometimes people view fundraising for your mission a necessary evil. Like, I want to go and I want to evangelize and I want to do Bible studies and I want to share the gospel and I have to fundraise to do that. And they get it twisted because what's awesome is that you get to first go to family and friends and ask them to go join you on mission, and you get to bring them on mission with you because they're, one, your benefactors. They allow you to be there. But two, you get to spiritually bring them on mission with you as well and then report back to them about, you know, the good works. And, I mean, that's what we saw in the Acts of the Apostles, right? Like, that would Paul would, you know, go from one city to the other and write back to the other cities and have this really awesome communication back and forth with the people that helped send him on mission. And so I, you know, was the only one that they kept asking people. They would say no, and they got to me, and I said yes. And that's really what I think launched the whole, I like this fundraising thing, and I think I'm good at it to some degree.
Yeah.
So you stayed with Focus for not just the normal couple years of being on a college campus, right? What did that trajectory turn into?
Yeah, I was on campus for 3 years. The normal, or the minimum, I should say, is 2. The average is, I think, around 3. But I was, after 3 years, I was married at this point, and we were looking to come back to Texas. My wife is from Fort Worth, and so looking to get back here, and I was looking within Focus what different options there were, what campuses were close by, and an opportunity came up on the national fundraising team to do major gift fundraising. And so after my experience of having done my own personal fundraising, having taught people how to fundraise, I thought this seems like it could be a really good skill I have, and let's give it a shot and jump up to the headquarters level and fundraise for the national organization. So after 3 years on campus, that's when I made the switch there and did that in some form or another for about 5.5 years.
And do you remember, it was during that time that you and I got connected. How did that happen?
So I was new to North Texas. I was, you know, grew up in Kansas. So I'm here.
I stand at the border waiting for people. Everybody coming from up north.
Southbound, 35. There's down. Jeff waiting for you.
Sorry, go ahead. Do you remember this?
Yeah, how we met?
Yeah.
So the former Focus guy who worked the Texas region, he was connected with you somehow. And
was that Johnny Manziel?
No, it was Travis Schilling.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sure that human crossed my path.
He told me that I had, because you invited him to sit at a table for a Heroic Media.
I'm just an inviter.
Yeah. And so so you had seats to fill. He got the invite through you or your network. Oh, come on.
I literally said, don't spill the open container of water on our fine equipment. I'm going to mop it up with stickers of myself. This is so odd. Oh, wait, there's napkins. Nick, okay. we're gonna keep all this because it's part of going in reverse. Find a way to reverse it back into the cup.
Oh, yeah. Do I still have to drink this? Yes.
Lick it up.
Got one on retainer.
Well, my cup's empty.
My cup runneth over.
It won't be.
I hate trash.
You missed.
You did too. As you were saying and spraying, keep going. Okay, so yeah, we ended up at a
Heroic Media luncheon. And
did we bro hug?
We did. And it was love at first sight, I think. So
strangers in the night.
Just benefactors. Did you? And you hit me up for a bunch of money, and I said no.
Yeah, but perseverance is one of my skill sets. And
it
so,
is.
No,
but at the time you were like traveling back and forth to Florida.
I was in Florida,
a crazy world.
So I wasn't even running. I wasn't doing fundraising in Texas. I just met you because the guy in Texas told me there's an extra seat, so I just went. And I was doing. I was in Florida 2 to 3 times a month doing
That's
fundraising
intense.
There.
Starting a family and being out and.
Yeah, no kids yet. My wife was working full time, and it was just I couldn't do it now. But at that time, it worked really well.
We're going to talk about family in the bonus show. So the arc of your career is you work there, and then you've just been on major gifts, fundraising, donor advisory. Like, what is your – how do you describe what you do? Fundraising?
Yeah.
Development? Development sounds like a nice way to say give me money.
Yeah, philanthropy.
Philanthropy. That makes it sound distinguished.
I like to use the word philanthropy. The Catholic Church is historically using the word charity. But charity is a little bit different than philanthropy. Not to like nerd out on fundraising lingo.
Go nerd.
Do it, please.
But charity is really what the Catholic understanding of giving is. Philanthropy is more of like an Americanized version of that, where we employ our return on investment and how are we viewing that this organization compares to that organization. Charity is more of just giving from the heart. Charity is more of, hey, I see a person in need. I'm going to help them. Mm. I'm going to give to them. Philanthropy is a little bit more bringing a business mind to our giving. And it's not wrong. They're both great. But that's just one small distinction between the two. I use philanthropy for the most part.
It's a gateway to charity.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
No, it is. Yeah. I mean,
or vice versa.
Yeah, because charity is just that free gift, right? I mean, it's closer to grace in that sense, right? But philanthropy, you might be balancing books and showing spreadsheets and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's how you get Nick
to give money.
Yeah.
ROI.
That's when he becomes Moneybags Besner.
Yep.
Bagsner. Talk about what you're doing now. What is this new organization? It's not a new organization. You're new to it.
I'm new there, yeah.
It's definitely established. Talk about AmPhil a little bit.
AmPhil, formerly known as American Philanthropic. That's how it was founded.
That makes way more sense to me. I thought it was like an Amway spinoff.
No, no, no.
I thought it was the one with the duck on the commercials.
AmPhil.
Nope. Okay. No. Thank you for getting my back.
Yeah, I didn't get it at first, but by the time I got it, it was
it
too late.
Rolled off like water off the duck's back.
Off the edge
I just thought the founder's name was Philip.
I am Phil.
So it was founded. It was founded as American Philanthropic, but everybody called him AmPhil. Mm. So they did a big rebrand a couple years ago.
Short rebrand.
Yeah, big. Yeah, short one. Yeah,
big small.
Yeah, but really, what we do at AmPhil is integrated fundraising services. So we're a consulting firm that offers more than just major gifts or capital campaign. We're also helping with strategic plans and direct response giving. And doing an assessment of workflow and just kind of looking at your whole operation of a nonprofit and helping you get better.
Yeah.
And so I've started there about 6 weeks ago and I've been loving it.
Maximum Impact. What what is your role at Amphill?
So right now, I'm trying to soak in as much Amphill culture and understanding of the job. Because sometime this year, I will be opening up the Dallas-Fort Worth office. We have regional offices all across the country.
Really?
We don't have one in Texas yet, and so they asked me to help open up their first office.
Nothing's going to help you more Texas than sponsoring the Beatitudes.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to make a mark in Texas, that's what they say, Catholic Beatitudes sponsorship.
We have tens of followers, so.
In the southeast corner of Fort Worth.
Adding each week. We're adding tens.
In the far north diocese of Fort Worth, we have got everyone. Yeah. Every human on the northern border.
They're all Nick's family.
Yep.
Munster and Lindsay.
Yeah.
Cook County. That's we got it.
I thought you were naming them all. Munster subscribed, Lindsay subscribed, Uncle Munster. You know, no. So what was the training like in this first 6 weeks for what sounds like probably one of the most legitimate, well-organized, and I would say... like the business mindset that we talked about earlier, bringing that to nonprofits. Amphill, I know, does this. People go to them. They're like the hallmark, the marquee, the what other word would you use for like something?
Kmart.
Yeah. What else would you say?
The Amphill.
Yep. They're the Amphill they're the Amphill of the fundraising world.
Yes.
What has the training been like for you? We talked about not knowing you were being trained earlier. What is it like now being trained?
It's been really great. They have gotten me involved right away in some of the client engagements. Not leading them, but assisting in them and doing a lot of the work that someone that would be newer to Amphill would be doing, something where you're just trying to learn the ropes. And so it's been great because I like to think I know a lot about fundraising, but I don't know everything about fundraising. And so I get to jump into these engagements where we're helping one nonprofit build a donor club with all the different levels and tiers and talking about their benefits. And so I get to help and get my hands dirty with that. And then we're doing coaching on another one where I get to see how, you know, we talk about solving problems. So that's on the practical side of things. And then on the other side of what I've been doing the last few weeks is really just immersing myself in Amphill culture. And our tagline is strengthening civil society. And so the academics who founded Amphill really had a love for this small part, well, it's a large part of society, but often forgotten civil society. So we often think about like the individual or the nuclear family, and that's like our most close associations. And we often think about like the government and the state as, you know, something that, you know, gets a lot of, whether it's news coverage or just takes up a lot of our time and space and in the mind. Well, civil society is that area that fits in between those two things. And there's a lot of, you know, for-profit, and there's a lot of corporations and a lot of other businesses that fit in there. But then there's this other segment that we really focus on, the nonprofits, that are strengthening civil society. And so I've been learning about just some of our values and our cultural values. And one of my favorite ones is conviviality.
Say it again, Sam.
Conviviality. No way.
Life together.
Conviviality.
Yeah.
Y'all just knew this.
Conviviality.
Yeah. Conviviality.
Con with viv life.
Stop doing it. Like.
You didn't know this, Jeff? I was like right there with Paul. That's how.
Yeah. This is neat the way y'all been hanging out. Conviviality is happening right here. Life with Paul and Nick.
I'm surprised you don't know this word. You're pretty good at it, Jeff.
Yeah. Hey, prove it. conviviality.
You left me out of the joke, and now I'm mad.
You guys all met and said, let's make up a word. I'll say it. You guys act like you know the roots, and we'll all say it's a core value. Conviviality.
Prove it.
That's right, Jeff. It's a vast conspiracy. 75% of this room was in on it.
Okay. Thanks for explaining. Now, what do you think conviviality is?
What
is it really?
They did a good job of dissecting the roots. It's like living life, but like being present with people. And the way we like to talk about it is it's taking our work seriously, but not ourselves. And being real people to those that we serve. And, you know, having good humor being a part of just the workplace. And I think that authenticity comes through when you're working with clients.
You literally just described the thesis of this show. We just used a lot more words.
We got a rebrand.
You should try conviviality.
The convivialities.
I like the way it fits. And I got to say this. We committed on a previous episode that the Beatitudes supports the culture of life. We are a culture of life podcast. And we were with Aaron Fowler from Now Bloom. And now we're committing that our first core value is conviviality.
I love it.
I can get on board with that. Seconded.
Yeah. All right. All in favor?
Third.
Aye. All against.
Nay.
And bill it up. All right. Hey, it's conviviality. Can you give me any other words I've never heard before?
Penultimate.
Oh, brother.
Come on.
Wait. It's just a long word.
That's the Hold second on. To last word he knows.
When we played early on in the Beatitudes, season one, first single-digit episodes, we played What's a Word You Love, and mine was penultimate. Mm. And ever since then, I've been hoping this is the penultimate episode.
Wow.
No.
The truth comes
hoping
out.
This isn't.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. This one isn't.
Because technically right now it's the last one, right? I mean, for right now.
The last one for right this second.
Yeah. For the day.
So therefore it's not.
As we're recording.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
At the time of recording.
Yeah. We'll see you next week and the next week.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Paul is going to put some other human here and be like, this is Jeff. He got a haircut. He doesn't talk much.
Oh, what did you say? Cardboard cut out of Jeff?
Conviviality.
That's right.
What are you most excited about in your professional journey right now? What's giving you energy? And then also, what's a place that you're looking to really grow and stretch and learn and be better?
Yeah, the thing that's giving me the most excitement right now is really getting to help a lot of different organizations, because I'm very passionate about fundraising, very, very passionate about philanthropy, and it's been a joy to really work for organizations that I believe in. And now it's really exciting that I get to go and help a lot of different groups.
Yeah.
And across different sectors, too. I've really been in, like, the faith-based pro-life area in those sectors. And I'm really excited to get into a little bit more of, you know, maybe some policy things or government type of nonprofits, some arts and culture nonprofits where I can really help build up my local community, because I'm going to be here in the DFW area. That's where we want to, you know, help clients. And so I'm excited to just help my neighbors. And that's really exciting to me. And the area I want to grow the most in is I just want to be better at being someone that people enjoy knowing, getting kind of like a connector of some sort. It's good to know someone that's good to be around, that they enjoy. And someone that, like, so through those networking opportunities, you can help people. Maybe I'm not helping them directly through my work, but I'm helping connect them to the right person that can help them. And so I think that's, and when I view this, I view it as serving the community and being someone that can help solve people's problems, even if it's not with my company, I think is a great value that I want to add to what I offer people.
I think this is interesting. I'm going to throw you two questions. It's kind of a curveball, but all of us were talking at the end of the show and Nick had a question for you. It was around, like, what is something that you've done that you're very proud of? It was something that you helped to make happen or put the effort in, and the outcome of it is something like you look, and not in a negative prideful way, but in like the gratitude of the moment and the impact. What's something that you can kind of answer there for just a little bit of a deeper question?
Yeah. One of the areas that my wife and I are very passionate about is our school. Mm. So we send our kids to a classical Catholic school. She teaches there. So she's an eighth grade theology teacher. So we're very invested in the community. And I recently started a group for dads that send their kids there. And it's really centered on encountering the truth, goodness, and beauty through literature, history, and scripture. And so we just started this group up. And this is something I'm very excited about, because we had a good turnout, 8 guys, which I thought was really great. Because I'm looking for the right people to be there. And what we did is everybody memorized a poem, and you had to recite your poem in front of the entire group, and then give a little bit of context, why you chose that poem, maybe what, how did you hear about it, and then we'll move on and do different topics throughout the year. We're going to meet, you know, 4 times a year, but we're going to do poetry, we're going to do literature. I'm really excited. In January, we'll discuss our favorite historical battle and you'll have a 5-minute presentation on the battle.
You already know what you're going to talk about in January of 2025?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's got a spreadsheet.
Hey. And an ROI and everything.
Buddy.
I also think, could you send us your syllabus? Because you're giving us a lot of good reverse Simpsons. We all have to memorize a poem, blah, blah, blah. Paul also had a question earlier, later on in the show that we're asking you now. And it's, what is God teaching you or revealing to you right now in your life?
We did, so God's really been showing me how I need to grow in patience. And I've known this for a long time, but I didn't know it to what degree. He, until just very recently, there's been, we had a new baby on Easter. And so that adds a whole new, you know, resetting of schedules and everything. And starting a new job just a few weeks before that, just a lot of different changes all in the same time. And I want things to happen at a faster pace than they are happening, but they're happening at the right pace. I'm just impatient. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord's really been telling me and showing me I need to grow in patience, not in like the patience I thought before where, you know, my kids were frustrating me because they're doing something silly or they did something I asked them not to do. But growing in patience with God's timing is really what he's been saying.
That's a tough one too, because sometimes you're like, can you just infuse the gift of patience? Like, yeah. Why do you have to give me opportunities to grow in patience?
And that's the worst thing about praying for that. Right? Like he gives you those opportunities, and then you actually have to live up to them.
It takes a long time for him to answer those prayers.
Evan, well, welcome to the show. Is there any opening thoughts you would share with everyone here just as we kind of kick off this episode?
I'm just excited to be here. I have been listening to the show and watching the show for quite some time, and so I feel very honored to be invited to sit at the tiny desk, the tiny table, in the also the tiny room. Yeah. So that's one thing that you don't appreciate, you know, on YouTube, because you know they can't see the rest of the room.
I know.
The room's also tiny.
You can almost touch the rest of the room with your feet.
That's right.
And also, I just for anybody listening, don't call it a desk.
It's I know. I corrected myself.
I mean, it's tiny table, because I'm not going to call it the dinky desk. Like, let's honor this thing.
Now somebody is going to call it the dinky desk. You put it out there.
We're sorry, buddy. We're sorry.
Tiny table TM.
That's
TM. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so glad to have Evan Wollstonecraft here with us. Evan, welcome to the Beatitudes. Man, we've been a longtime friend of yours. It's so awesome to have you here. We're going to be rocking today, talking about all things major gift giving, philanthropy, charity. We're going to go through some deep questions. I can't wait to see what happens when we challenge each other with crazy accents later. But welcome. It's so great to have you here, man.
Thanks. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, and my co-host today... You know him. You love him. He's hilarious. Paul Kolker.
Hey, the two things I'm known for.
Hair and comedy. Hair and comedy. Paul, man, you are just a gem to the world. I think that you have been setting the world on fire. I even saw your LinkedIn change to say something about comedy, and your picture's phenomenal. Like,
thank you.
There's like this comedy apostolate happening now. You are unleashed, brother.
Thank you.
It all it took was a meeting with Dr. Phil to unleash unleash the polker.
Nailed it. No, yes. Amen.
And also the other co-host of the table, Nicholas Besner.
What are the two things I'm known for?
Well, most recently, somebody stopped you at a Catholic event and said, you got funny.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
And he said, I've studied comedy recently. Same event we were at with
shucks.
Evan. And it was a weird moment. So, like a super fan, Diane goes, hey, Nick, you've gotten funnier lately. And we're like, wow.
I'll take it.
And she's right. What happened?
You're killing it.
I've been studying. It's just, look.
He's got spreadsheets of jokes.
You put a goal out there, I'm going to work towards it, you know?
Private equity playbook. We need to be good at comedy. Give me 90 days. I'm on it. We'll do the due diligence.
I got a formula. There's a path.
We'll do the quality of comedy evaluations. Like, you got it all, man.
You got it.
And I'm Jeff Shovelbein. I'm pretty neat, too. Lots of cool things going on in my life. Welcome to the Beatitudes. This is a show for Christian men where we walk arm in arm with one another. We'd like to think that we are living with conviviality. We take ourselves seriously, but not the faith. Oh, I mean, shoot.
No.
Oh.
You reversed the reverse.
We take the faith way seriously is what I wanted to say, and ourselves mildly with humor. But we're walking arm in arm with one another in authentic fraternity through the Trinity. Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatitudes.
What a beautiful train wreck.
Amazing. That was awesome.
That was awesome.